B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
11 on the shot clock. Steph goes behind his back, attacks. Wild scoop shot up and good. And Steph just making more finals highlights. Warriors by 9. He's got 28. Poole runs free into an open 3 and knocks it down. And the best third quarter team in the NBA is doing it on the biggest stage. A 14-point Golden State lead.
Just continue to play. That was our message throughout the whole game. You know, they're such a good team. And for us, it was, you know, just continue to play no matter what. And our guys, that's what we did.
Jaylen Brown, right-hand dribble, pass Porter in the paint. Lob for Rob Williams, two-hand slam. Timeout Steve Kerr. The Celtics have cut 10 points off this Golden State lead from 15 down to 5. And we're not done yet. 9:35 to go in game one. Stolen by Jaylen is lead for Peyton Pritchard, who scores in the left hand. Celtics have scored 11 straight points. They have cut it to 3. Jaylen catch and shoot. 3 is good. It's a 14-2 Boston run, and game one is now a 2-point game. Derek White, pump fake, shot clock down to 2. He has to launch a tough 3, and he hits it again. Derek White has tied game one. Here come the Celtics trying to take the lead. Jaylen, offensive end, finds Tatum. Leads Derek White, attacks baseline. Derek White to the corner. Pritchard closed down by Wiggins. Kick out Horford. He's open for 3. Got it! The Celtics with 5:08 to go. They look up and they've got the lead. Draymond Green's entry deflected by Horford and stolen by Derek White. Bounce pass lead for Tatum. Kick out. Trail 3. Horford. Got it! The Celtics have scored 29 points in 7-plus minutes in the quarter. They have a 6-point lead. Their largest of game one. Horford long 2. Got it! The Celtics are 12 of 16 in the fourth quarter. They lead by 8. Rebound Horford. Kick out. Corner 3. Smart. Got it! 14 straight for the Celtics, coming down the stretch like thoroughbreds in their NBA Finals debut. Every one of them out there. And the Celtics have an 11-point lead. Tatum, over the shoulder pass. Marcus Smart. Left side 3. Good night!
What'd they say about Marcus, man? What'd they say?
An offensive explosion of historic proportion by the Celtics, and Steph Curry misses a layup on the other end. Jaylen Brown, handoff, Al Horford, scoops it up and in, scored, and the foul, and the Celtics are going to win a game one that is going to leave a mark.
For us, it was just, you know, just continue to play no matter what. And our guys, that's what we did. We, you know, we continue to fight and get this one.
Tonight, the Celtics on the road in the NBA Finals score 40 points in the fourth quarter and come from 15 down to score a stunning double-digit historic win in game number one. The final score, Boston 120, Golden State 108.
Who we've been all year, tough grinders, you know, resilient group, impressive against a really elite scoring team.
I think Boston will wins.
Everybody, good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv or the Twitch app. All of those things available for you. And we will spend a great deal of time today, obviously, talking about the dramatic fourth quarter comeback from your Boston Celtics last night.
It was nice, though, that they decided to make that game somewhat quick. That's when a game is officiated the right way. You can get to bed before, you know, what, 11:30 was the game over?
By 11:30, yes.
Oh, that was awesome. That
remarkable.
First half flew by.
And the game started at like 9:04. I was really worried.
The game started at 9:09.
9:09? Okay.
I looked at my phone.
All right, fantastic. I was expecting, you know, 9:20.
Because so Neil Schon decided to just go, I'm going to play this guitar.
Now, was it Neil Schon or was it Neil Schon wearing some guy wearing a Neil Schon mask? I couldn't quite tell.
Do you think he thought he was Jimi Hendrix. It was amazing.
Do you think that he might dye his hair?
Do you think that he might use Botox?
There is a... Well, it's fillers at his age. The Botox, you wouldn't be able to tell.
He's got that constant state of surprise that Kenny Rogers had.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, like, I know a lot of women who get Botox, you would never be able to tell. It's when they... When this constant state of surprise is facelifts and fillers and everything else... But, you know, they trot him out for everything because it's Journey and the Grateful Dead whenever they go. Or Metallica.
It was Santana 1 year. I remember that.
Yeah, but is he San Francisco?
Yes. Okay. He's from San Francisco, yes. And his wife is a drummer. So the two of them went out there and did it. I remember this.
Neil Schon just said, you know what, tonight's about me. And I am going to really, really just play this thing forever.
There was one part, and it was a part that it shouldn't have even happened, where he just starts doing like some tasty lick Cranston stuff, like. And when he went back into the song, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. He's like. Still in the middle of the song. I thought he
skipped a few notes to get there, too. That's the other part.
There was no rhyme or reason. But
and so the thing takes forever. And then at the end of it, he goes, no, no, no.
Here's some chords.
No reason.
Just random chords.
Like, not even, like, cool. Like, I don't want to stop.
Home of the brave. And you're like, woo. And then he goes, no. That was the out right there. That's when the Sandman comes out of the Apollo and just brushes you off the stage. Yeah. You're done at that point.
Yeah, you thought it's finally over, but no, no, no. Neil Schon, who, you know, most of us have not paid attention to in, 40 years? I mean, you know, you have the Crashes of the world that are still very dedicated to the band Journey. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's been a solid 40 years since I'd say 82 is probably the last time that, like, Journey was on my radar.
He's the first person I ever wanted to be. Because my older brothers loved Journey. They were obsessed with him. And I would see him, like, totally. There's this one video of him getting hit in the face with a bottle. And him continuing to shred with, like, blood down his face. I thought he was the coolest human being on the planet. And then I see him last night. I'm like, well, sometimes it's good that dreams don't come true.
Yeah. I wish someone had hit him with a bottle last night. And maybe stop.
Well, would it actually have hurt his actual skin?
No, no, no. Or his face would have just gone.
It would have gotten stuck in like the goo that is his skin now.
Or it would have just his face would have exploded. It's so taut, that it would have exploded. So I had to yesterday off. So Wednesday night. I followed the after Gorman talking about it. I went and saw the new Top Gun.
Oh, good.
And I liked the film, but I will tell you this: is that first of all, they were wearing jeans in the football scene. They were wearing jeans. Yes.
I wasn't paying enough attention.
I was paying. That's all I cared about.
Okay. Well, then that's got to be a hat tip. That's got to be a nod.
There was like a million hat tips, and you know we. Have mutual friends on Facebook that were like, I was crying during the movie.
There's no moment to cry. I mean, there was an emotional moment. There was one, but it wasn't like a cry-worthy moment.
No. Did you know they CGI'd the...
Yeah, it was digitally, because he can't. Yeah, not to blow anything.
No, he can't
do that, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not blowing anything. I mean, you go and his name's in the opening
credits.
But
you don't know what he does.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. But, I mean, Val Kilmer's in the movie. I mean, you can just go to IMDb and see that Val Kilmer's in the movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I saw Top Gun like 3 times, but there's supposed to be these scenes where you're like, whoa, and I'm like, I didn't feel that.
Well, I think that the fact that they opened up the new Top Gun exactly the way the first one opened up. As a matter of fact, there was a story that came out that I guess Kenny Loggins re-recorded Danger Zone or did a new version of Danger Zone.
Why?
Because I guess that he felt that they would use it. And Tom Cruise, as the producer and the director, basically told him, hey, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to use the old one. I don't know if we need to hear, you know, Back to the Shack. Remember when Kenny Loggins did a second song?
Yes, I do, for Caddyshack 2. That was the opening montage. I remember that. I don't think we need I'm Going All the Way or whatever it was.
We don't need to do the Back to the Shack song. Let's just keep the original
You know what's funny is I read something about Caddyshack 2, and Jackie Mason was not the first choice. He was not the second choice. Jackie Mason was a Hail Mary right before production started.
The story is Rodney Dangerfield was committed to do that movie, took a look at the script, and went, nope,
yep,
and you, I'm out.
And if Dangerfield was turning it down, you know you're in trouble. So, if you have an album, like you live with that album, like you could play it conceivably every day, mm-hmm. and then you feel this emotional connection to it. But like a movie... Like you see it, like say I saw Top Gun 3-4 times. Like I just, you know, like when he like unveils the motorcycle, I'm like. Ah.
Well, I was even joking about that. It's like, you know, it was, you know, that when he filmed, it's like people are gonna have a big moment here. And for me, that wasn't it. For me, it was the action scenes are just
the action perfect. Scenes are really good.
Yeah,
but the I mean. Like it's there's a lot of corny crap in that thing.
Oh, of course, but it's Top Gun. You know what you're getting into. I mean, right. You expect. Matter of fact, you want the corniness. Like that's what you crave
that,
when you
like,
see Top
bar
Gun.
Scene.
But that is once again a hat tip to the original.
No kidding. They show that it's a hat tip to the original.
Yeah, yeah.
They show it, but. Can you imagine if you were at a bar and the guy with the mustache sat down and started doing that?
Oh sure,
you'd want to kill him.
Oh yeah. Well, unless he was like a super cool dude like Rooster was.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to get in his face.
Rooster, I thought was like kind of fat, and then he took his shirt off, and he was not.
Yeah. First of all, Miles Teller, from everything I've heard, is a grade A douche. He's one of the friends of Aaron Rodgers, and I think he might have introduced him to the clay eater girlfriend that
he
had.
Oh, nice.
There was pictures of them at like a waterfall and everything when Aaron Rodgers was missing his OTAs. However, that guy's a great actor, and he was really good in Top Gun. He was in probably one of my favorite movies of the last, it's probably over a decade old now, but he was in Whiplash. He was the drummer kid in Whiplash. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's awesome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the drummer kid in Whiplash.
That was his thing. He did some other like teen movies before that. But yes.
he does not look anything like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, he bulked up. He bulked up for this movie.
He's not like a handsome fella.
No, but he does look like Goose's son.
Yeah, yeah. When I first saw the trailer for it like a year ago, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's Goose's son.
Yeah, excellent casting.
Well, yeah, they put a mustache on the guy.
I think the most impressive thing is what Mike was talking about is that they actually taught these guys how to fly. And there's a couple scenes, like there's one where
you can see they're sick.
Oh, yeah. And there's one where Tom Cruise takes off from an aircraft carrier, and it's a one shot where it's in front of him and you just see the back of it, and when that thing takes off, like you see the camera like lifting off from the aircraft carrier.
Jeez.
and on an IMAX, it's one of those things where it almost gets your stomach. It's kind of, it gets you a little bit of acrophobia. Is that it is when Fear of Heights, when he takes off, it is really well shot.
Yeah, it is funny because they, knowing that the guys were really in the planes, like they do cut to the guys where you can tell that they are not having a good time.
No.
They cut the guys and they're like, ah.
Yeah, the actors were honking during the filming of it. And what they'd have to do is, because it's not like you can do a ton of retakes.
Right, sure.
They would vomit in a bag and they would put it down by their legs and finish their lines with like holding a bag of vomit.
Yeah. So anyway, it's good. I didn't feel any emotion during it, though. I will tell you that. All right. Enough of that. I just felt like I did something that people are doing in popular culture, and I had to say something. Just like I went and saw something that everyone's seeing. All right. So without hesitation, we will now. And if you went to bed last night, you missed a hell of a fourth quarter.
There's a ton of people who went to bed at the third quarter. And even Mike came in and he was like, I can't believe that happened. I thought it was over with at the end of the third. And I wouldn't blame you for thinking that. I mean, there's teams where you can, in basketball, we know that 15 points can swing one way or the other, except against the Golden State Warriors.
I thought the game was over in the first quarter when...
Steph just couldn't miss?
Yeah, and that it was so different than the series before it.
Right.
Like, Miami was so terrible offensively.
And Celtics left people open, and Miami missed a ton of shots, but then... They decided to do that with Steph Curry, and he made everything. And all of a sudden,
and to a credit to the Celtics, I was like, "There's no way," because it's been, I don't recall the New Jersey series, but like in Milwaukee, like you had Giannis as well as he played, you know, missing layups and stuff, and I'm like, well, this is a team that can score, and they're seeing the ball go in the basket, and there's no way they're going to win this game.
Well, I thought after that first quarter, I said, all right. they've obviously screwed up covering Steph Curry. They're going to at least clean that up a little bit, and Tatum hasn't done anything. Needless to say, if you told me how this all ended,
yeah,
I would have never believed
it. They did a great job. We'll get into it, but they did a great job of running Curry off three, off the three-point line. They did a great job, especially in the fourth quarter with their perimeter defense. Fantastic job, and that's one of the major reasons they won.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, scoring from, relatively unexpected places. And so, I mean, now you got to kind of like the Celtics in this series because they got it done. They got it done with, you know, guys that aren't supposed to be the guys that have to get it done.
Well, the one thing I said yesterday is if there's any certainty is that everybody is going to be jumping to massive conclusions after game one. This is still, in my opinion, a seven-game series, despite what you saw last night.
That was
awesome.
They're not going to get Golden State's not going to get swept, but I've changed my opinion on who's going to win the series. I mean, that's a. I just in the first quarter, I told my wife, I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, the ball's going in the basket. It's as simple as they're seeing the ball go in the basket.
You had every reason to do that because there's one team that you can't get behind on, and that is the Golden State
Warriors.
And yet, that freaking team did it.
I don't know. It's just different this year. It's amazing.
And Mark Jackson made the great point that good offense always beats good defense, which I'm sure he said the opposite of some other point.
I actually thought it was good defense beats good offense.
Here's the problem. He didn't have his buffer. Van Gundy wasn't there. So when I found out, when I looked and I saw they didn't replace Van Gundy and they had Mark Jones sitting next to him, I'm like, oh, man, Mark Jackson's on an island. There's no saving him tonight.
No, Mark Jones.
All the dumb things that he says are not going to be covered by anybody else.
Anytime they give Mark Jones anything but when the game's not being played, he's going to screw it up.
Well, you know that he's not very good when probably one of the nicest guys in broadcasting, Mike Gorman, he's like, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything about him.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to say anything about that guy.
Well, you didn't like in Game 7 when he's like, and they say rain is spiritual. And all right, we'll be right back with all of, go over the Celtics game from last night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
All right, well, if you are up this early, chances are like me, you went to bed in the third quarter. I have seen the fourth quarter, so shut up. but you know what, dude? I went to bed and woke up and saw the fourth quarter, and what a comeback.
Oh, that was fun.
The Celtics down 15 late in the third quarter, up by 11. They can close the show here pretty soon with a minute 48 to go. Tatum, over the shoulder pass. Marcus Smart, left side three. Good night!
What'd they say about Marcus, man? What'd they say? Stunned!
He sucks.
An offensive explosion of historic proportion by the Celtics, and Steph Curry misses a layup on the other end.
After finding themselves in a 15-point deficit in the second half, the Celtics deliver one of the best quarters of their season, stepping on the throats of the Golden State Warriors and stealing Game 1 with a double-digit victory. There were bad signs from the very beginning. Steph Curry getting anything he wanted in blown coverage in the first, for starters.
Insane for the Steph against Jason Tatum. Porter sets the screen, step into another three, got it. He's got 21 in the first quarter.
That was tough to watch.
And again, at that point, I was like, this game's over, because if you compare it to the last two series, I mean, the difference between Golden State's offense and Miami's offense is a little, they're a little more dynamic. And so I thought, just by nature of the Celtics sitting there and going, wow, the ball's going. And as simple as wow, the ball's going in. Wow, like these guys aren't missing, as you know, to the degree that, you know, they're not going to, there's not going to be until the end.
And most times when you face Golden State, that stuff feeds on itself. The crowd starts going bananas. Yep. Everyone starts making shots and you worry, okay, Steph Curry got 21 this quarter. What happens next quarter with Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins? And you're thinking, oh, God, you know, this could really get away from
and
them.
And meanwhile,
quick.
Looney was getting every rebound.
Yes.
So it was like, I mean, it's like they couldn't, the things that they were the best at, perimeter defense and, of course, rebounds with Robert Williams out there, they were having a completely different experience than they were throughout the rest of the playoffs.
It was really as simple as, like, just, you know, because Miami would come out and they would go 0-for-8. And just they were so bad offensively that I thought, all right, this game, I just thought, you know, this game might be over.
I'm sure you weren't alone.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, just it was so much different because even Milwaukee, you know, would go through these stretches in the beginning of games where they would struggle. And I really thought that was it.
Well, they found themselves in a 15-point hole. Jason Tatum couldn't score to save his life. And Steve Kerr was laughing on the sidelines. And that is when the old man took over.
Jaylen Brown, handoff, Al Horford, scoops it up and in, scored, and the foul. And the Celtics are going to win a game one that is going to leave a mark.
That'll leave two marks. You'll have a blackout and a bloody nose leaving here. All them guys who picked it over there, like, oh, this is what's going to happen. The Celtics, we talked about their defense connecting, but it wasn't their defense tonight. Sean, it was their offense. It was that good.
Well, Al freaking Horford and his 36-year-old ass, he's basically said, I got this. I mean, what a great time to have his best game as a pro. 6 3-pointers last night. Jeff Goodman tweeted a mind-blowing stat about Al that really puts in perspective just how hard he's worked to get his game where it is. You know, we all know that Al was never a three-point shooter in his early years. I mean, he didn't make a single three in his 3-year college career in Florida, and he made a total of 21 three-pointers in his first 8 seasons in the NBA.
Yeah, just the game has changed so much, I mean, since he's been in the league.
But he saw it coming.
Yep.
He saw that he started to need to shoot threes.
Rich, do you remember that you and I, when we first moved to Boston, went out and watched University of Florida win the national championship? I don't know if you recall.
I do. Joakim Noah was on that
yes.
team. Who else? There was one more star.
There
was one more superstar that was on that team, and I forget who it was. But that was an amazing team.
But that's how old we are.
That's true. Well, now he's about as good a three-point shooter on this team as there is, and the 15-point deficit erased. Double-digit lead attained. Lockdown defense and a ridiculous amount of shooting by guys not named Jason Tatum.
99-94, and the offense sparks right back up as soon as Steph goes back in. Tatum drives, leaves his feet to find an open Pritchard. Corner three, got it! Peyton Pritchard, welcome to the NBA Finals. Boston within two.
Man, this is slugfest, man. I think people here are shocked right now looking at the score.
So Boston outscored Golden State 40-16 in that fourth quarter. They made 68% of their baskets in that period and shot 75% from three-point range with 4 different players hitting multiple threes in that period. And even better, Boston had just 1 turnover the entire period. And even better than that, they held the Warriors to just 16 points and committed only 1 foul in the fourth. That defense was it might be the best defense I've seen them play all year, whereas they were suffocating, they were obviously causing disruptions, but they were doing it clean. And also, credit to the refs, they weren't calling garbage. Almost all of the fouls that were called last night were ones that you absolutely had to call. Matter of fact, you probably could have called a couple more traveling plays on at the beginning of the game.
They were just like, Brown take 8 steps.
I mean, it was like
the crowd was even booing.
They finally started. I think he got called twice for traveling, and he could have gotten more than that.
Yeah, there was one in the first half where it was he might have taken 6 steps.
That made the game fun to watch. I mean, it was just flowing and not choppy. By the way, Corey Brewer's the other guy you're thinking of on that Florida team.
Okay.
But the all 3 of those guys, Noah, Horford, and Brewer, all top 10 picks off that team. But ultimately, in the fourth quarter, and even in the third, I mean, Steph Curry, who is, like Ray Allen, great in moving without the ball and freeing himself up for shots, the Celtics gave him nothing outside the line, especially in the second half. And you saw Curry dashing around, trying desperately to get free. And it wasn't just Marcus Smart. I mean, people, the defense was so much better.
Oh.
And for them to be able to do that in that situation, and none of them had been there before, it's pretty amazing on the road to be able to pick up the defense like that and suffocate that team to the point of completely dominating them in that 12-minute stretch.
I will tell you this, though. The lack of finals experience, I think, is a non-factor.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
I mean, these guys are professional athletes.
After the first, yesterday when you were out, we did talk about this. After the first 5 or 10 minutes of a game like that, and you saw this, you saw air balls in the first 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, they were like, oh my God, this is the finals. But after that, things were different. Yeah. They were getting beat, but it wasn't because they were scared and the other thing, or in awe of the situation.
To your point, John, you know, when you're talking about the defense, the one thing that was shocking was Peyton Pritchard was pretty good defensively on Steph Curry. Of all of the people that you thought would have any kind of influence on stopping his game, watch that fourth quarter. As a matter of fact,
Curry was tired at the end of the game, too.
Well, yeah,
the team, Golden State, was fatigued, and they even talked about it during the game.
Which, once again, they had less of a reason to be fatigued than the Celtics.
Well, I'm not just diminishing what the Celtics did. In fact, it's a compliment to the Celtics because Curry, you know, had to free himself up, was running constantly, and I think he was a little out of gas at the end of the game.
There was also one thing, John, and I just want to mention it, too, because you talked about Jason Tatum, and he did look nervous at the beginning of the game. I mean, their shots were way off, but you're going to look at his stat sheet, and you're going to see a guy who obviously had a bad night.
3-for-17.
But he was excellent in that fourth quarter.
Yes.
As a facilitator,
yes.
He might have been involved in almost every play where a bucket was made. Every big play in that fourth quarter, he had something to do with it. As a matter of fact, if you look at his like plus-minus, I know, John, you were going to look at it. I mean, that fourth quarter.
16.
Well, in the fourth quarter, I bet it was even more than that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is this, is that when he was double teamed, he was able to kick out and guys made shots. That's the thing, is guys made shots.
And if you're
Marcus Smart made his shots last night.
If you're Golden State and you're looking at what happened, the one thing that's got to scare you the most is they were able to rip off that run. And Jason Tatum had a quiet night offensively.
And two other things. Not only that, but you look, we've said it many times, the Celtics have stared down a lot of things. I mean, they've come up with big performances after shooting themselves in the foot. They've come up, I mean, you come out and you sweep Brooklyn, and that pretty much serves notice. Okay, this is not normal. But to be able to come back and beat Miami the way they did on the road, and Milwaukee the way they did on the road, and close out Game 7, that's amazing in itself, and last night falls in line with that. But just to get back to the defense, Ime Udoka has said throughout the playoffs, and he said it all the way during the regular season to me, to Grandy, you know, the way they play their defense is like body punches. You throw body punches for three quarters, you wear the other team down. And this goes to your point of saying Golden State was fatigued. They weren't fatigued because they had a week off and had to play again. They were fatigued because the Celtics were leaning on them for the entire evening.
And
you saw it caught. You saw it catch up to them in the fourth quarter.
And now I do think the Celtics are going to win this series now. But I will say this, is that if I'm Golden State, I go, all right, you know, is Smart going to shoot like this again? Like, can we can live with Smart shoot? Like, well, is he going to shoot like this again?
Well,
like,
Fred, I know that you're a big fan of Draymond Green, and it sounds like almost like you're speaking his language. Post game, when we get back from the commercial break,
I didn't hear this.
It's great.
Oh,
you're
gonna
minds.
No, you're going to love this. Yeah. So, it's just classic Draymond.
Draymond. We have a similar opinion, me and Dre?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, the word dismissive comes to mind.
Very much so.
It's great. It's everything you wanted. He's becoming a perfect villain for the series.
I want you to write down just a sentence during the break of what you think Draymond would say, and you're probably going to be right.
And to be honest, I'm glad. I hope he continues to do this, because game two is just a setup for a perfect disappointment game, a letdown game for the Celtics. But if Draymond continues to speak the way he did last night, that might put a fire under their ass. And I know you shouldn't need it in the finals, but we've seen this team just get a little too happy about their wins and then put out a stinker in the following game.
Draymond knows what he's doing.
Don't
worry about Draymond.
He by the way, stunned. Like, one thing you could say about their post-game press conferences is that as much as they tried to play it off, guys like Steve Kerr, stunned. at what happened.
Well, Draymond might want to try to shoot, you know, better than 2 for 12 from the field.
That's because he had Grant Williams on him for most of that time.
There it is.
Listen.
Batman was on the scene.
I have done nothing but praise the Celtics today. F Grant Williams.
I know it's killing you. Yeah,
he didn't do anything. I'll give you everybody. Grant Williams didn't do anything except for fall on his face.
Almost broke his arm.
That's true.
Well, he was smart. He took his arm and didn't land on his wrist. I was hoping he landed. No, I'm just joking. But no, I'll give you everything. And I came in and I think the Celtics are going to win. Great victory. The defense was fantastic. They wore Golden State out. You are not telling me Grant Williams had a good game.
We had Steve Volpett on yesterday, and Steve Volpett was talking about Grant Williams and Draymond Green, how he's going to drive Draymond Green crazy. And he goes, he drives his own teammates crazy,
yes,
and he won't shut up. And he goes, and I believe that it might actually agitate Draymond Green to the point where it could affect his game.
Affect his game, and then he's going to hit him in the face.
Which would be funny.
And then walk off giving freedom rockets to the Celtics crowd. All right, we'll be right back here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
It's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Didn't like it. Front iron, no good. The rebound step. Long lead, looking for Looney. He catches it and is blocked at the rim by Jaylen Brown. A great catch by Looney and a better defensive play by Jaylen Brown.
Numbers going back the other way.
Derek White for Jaylen. He blows by Jordan Poole and flushes it hard with the right hand.
An outstanding play on both ends of the floor.
Celtics counterpunching here, trying not to take any more big shots.
We do look at ourselves as a complete unit, as a team, and we've seen the teams that rely on guys in the playoffs, whether it was Brooklyn in the first round with Durant, Milwaukee, Antetokounmpo, and Miami with Butler. We know if you take those guys out, teams are going to struggle, and so we pride ourselves on everybody being able to contribute on both ends. So that's rewarding, especially on a night where your best guy has an off night.
We are Toucher and Rich. Celtics huge fourth quarter comeback last night. Take a 1-0 lead in this series.
Speaking of that, Fred, I know you love the 538 updates.
Mm-hmm.
But
what are we up to, 96% now?
You're not that far off.
Oh, come on.
So 538, that is the Nate Silver statistics website, and before the series started, while the Celtics were still playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, they had the Celtics with a 71% chance of winning the finals. They hadn't even made the finals yet, and they said 71%
which
chance.
Which is still less than they had Clinton winning the election against Trump.
You might be right. And then they ended up moving to the finals, and once that started, or before it started yesterday, they had the Celtics at about 83% chance of winning, and now 538, 92% chance they've got of the Celtics winning the championship. And as I've been saying, that game was awesome. It should make you feel great as a Celtics fan. And I've said it yesterday. I changed before yesterday's show. I said, you know what? I was thinking it was going to be Golden State, but the more I think about it, Celtics in 7, I still believe.
Yeah,
Celtics in 7.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the roster, and the Celtics have no playoff experience. Just looking at it quickly, I think everyone in this room agrees that that's way overhyped. But you look and you have 3 legitimate Hall of Fame players in the starting 5 and a Hall of Fame head coach. And you're looking at your roster saying, okay, we got a lot of young guys. Last night you found out that Golden State is no different than any of the other teams you faced on the way there. Yeah, they're good, but the Celtics are just as good and aren't scared.
Yeah,
that's what you found out last night.
So the Celtics, if you want some more fun stats before we get to the Draymond Green audio, they are 13-1 in the NBA Finals when they win Game 1. The Celtics have been that way. And that was the first loss at home for the Golden State Warriors in these playoffs. And the Celtics, as you know, it doesn't matter where they play. They almost play better on the road. They're 8-2 on the road during these playoffs. So just you feel it coming. You feel there being a disappointment in Game 2 because unfortunately, the Celtics team has had several of those lapses where they'll put in like this epic performance, and then in the following game, you'll be like, is this even the same team? But maybe, just maybe, the words of Draymond Green might inspire some of these other players. So Draymond Green, after the game, was obviously, pissed. But he went and spoke about what's going to change in game two. Like, what happened that ended up blowing this 15-point lead? Where's your head at?
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So those guys are good shooters, but they combined for, 15 out of 8? Where's Smart? 7, 8, 15 for 23. My math right? 8, 7, and 8. Yeah, that's 23, right? Yeah. 15 for 23 from those guys. Yeah, you know, so be fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
He's a treasure. I won 7 games just to listen to this guy for 3 weeks.
And you know what's great? You know what's crazy? You can dismiss that all you want, and it's funny, Lillis, dude. I hope he never stops. But those guys have been doing it throughout the playoffs. Like, I mean, Al Horford.
Not all together, but individually.
No, but individually, nice. Like, yes. Each one of them, yes, has had games where that's, you're like, true. Okay. And okay, it's becoming more. This wasn't like some huge outlier. It was that all three of these guys who have their on nights once or twice during a series, it seemed like, all had it on the same night.
But you, okay, so if in defense of Draymond, which I'm going to defend him the entire series, but in defense of Draymond, if you've been preparing for this series, they've obviously said, let Smart shoot. That was the strategy with Miami as well. They've let Smart shoot. So they're probably, I said it before Draymond.
I know.
Is that, I mean, they got to be comfortable going. The one thing they'll probably take away is that, like, we can live with this. Like, we can live with Smart being the guy.
But there's one massive flaw in all of that, and that is that this all happened when you had Jason Tatum only making 3 field goals. Like, that should scare you because he's going to find a way.
I think the Celtics are going to win this series. I'm not taking anything away from the Celtics, nor have I this entire time. I'm just putting it in a Golden State perspective.
Sure.
Is that they obviously, their mission is to shut down Tatum.
If you're Golden State and you're Steve Kerr and you wake up this morning, I don't even know if coaches at this time of year never sleep. So you're up all night, you watch tape, you go over it with your assistants, and after about 3 hours of going over the game and breaking stuff down, how much do you change your defense? Last night.
You know what I
do? They took Jason Tatum away. They did a good job on him. They made his life miserable.
I don't change
it. Do you change anything?
See, here's why I'd be worried if I'm Steve Kerr. It's not because of the guys that Draymond Green just mentioned. Because, you know, listen, they shot their threes, and I know what you're saying. If we can control Jason Tatum, we're feeling good. It's Jalen Brown I'm worried about. When you
Fair
put
enough.
All that attention on Jason Tatum,
Fair enough.
Look what Jalen Brown was able to do
quarter,
in the
third quarter.
And that's what we were saying.
Huge.
And that's what we were saying through this whole thing. And this is an advantage that Boston might have, because Boston might have the two best players, or, you know, the two stars that are better than any combination of stars Golden State has.
And, yes, and the other part of it is, just getting back to Marcus Smart for a second, I understand Miami did leave him alone a lot, and Golden State clearly left him alone as well. The problem is, and we know this after watching him for all these years, Marcus Smart, when he is hot,
yes,
as he was last night, and again, in one series, things can happen. A lot of people forget Marcus Smart holds the club record for most made threes in a game. I mean, he hit 11 of them one night. I mean, if he gets hot, that will change Golden State's coverages. But I think they'll leave him alone one more time. They'll leave him alone Sunday. And if he goes out there and makes a handful of them again, then Steve Kerr will change.
What are the chances of that happening? Do you think that Smart's going to have another game?
He hasn't so far, but you and I both know he's capable of doing this, getting on runs.
Yeah, he did it last night.
But, again, he's capable of getting on runs like this over a short period of time.
But there's also another layer to that. What did you see last night in the fourth quarter? You saw 8 minutes of Marcus Smart on the bench because Peyton Pritchard came in
Derek
and got
White
hot
did well too. Yes,
so it's like it's one of these things where this Celtics team, as the year has gone on, has just, the dragon has grown more heads, and it's like you can concentrate on one thing, but all of those other heads are becoming, if not reliable, they're becoming dangerous. And Jaylen Brown is the number one thing I'd be worried about if you are the Golden State Warriors this morning. Dismiss those other guys all you want. Do it at your own peril, because they've been consistent. But Jaylen Brown, his numbers have been good. He's had on and off times, but his numbers have been good throughout the playoffs. They have been good. But Jaylen Brown is the guy that I'd be worried about.
That's right. With Smart, it's not a straight line. I think we all agree on that. But Jaylen Brown saved them. Jaylen Brown saved them in the third quarter.
Yes.
He did. And they don't win that. They don't win that game without him.
Yes. And he's a top 25 player in the NBA, as he should do that. But I could argue with you that Smart's, you know, come close to losing games for this team. And, I mean, in game 7 against Miami, he almost screwed that whole thing up.
The other thing that's been great is that you've been able to watch Jason Tatum not mind being the guy who just doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be the ball hog. He doesn't want to be the glory hog. He knows what it takes to win. And I read this. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I heard Jason Tatum talking about it, or maybe it was Ime who said it. But they sat down before the series and they watched tape, and it was like, this is what you need to do to win. They are going to double team you. And if you feel that you are suffocated, look at it. Doesn't matter about your numbers. It matters about getting the W. And he just continues to show that he's mature enough to not become that guy.
Well, especially when you're facilitating and guys are making shots, that makes it a lot easier to be comfortable being that person.
Yep.
Because if I'm Tatum and I'm kicking out and guys are missing open shots all over the place, I might be less, you know, maybe even Udoka would be like, all right, you got to take this game over. But yeah, a game like last night where everyone's hitting everything, absolutely.
Jeez, the Celtics had 12 assists in the fourth quarter. Jaylen had, and that was another thing about Jaylen. It wasn't just him hitting the shots. I mean, he was part of these big plays. He had 5. Tatum had, I'm looking at it, 4.
They played a perfect fourth quarter.
I mean, you could, and defensively, they were just suffocating. They were suffocating. And they weren't getting in foul trouble, too.
It's funny. Watching the Celtics make all those shots, you would say, okay, that's an outlier. They're never going to do that again. But they've already done it.
Yep.
At least twice in the playoffs, where everything goes in. And you look at it earlier in the playoffs, you're like, okay. You know, that night was one of those nights. And then they have another one in the next series. You're like, okay. And this is the third time during this playoff run where they've shot like that.
But what's crazy, John, is that if we were to come on the air this morning and before the game said the exact opposite about the Golden State Warriors, you'd believe it as well. They have also these dangerous pieces. I mean, guys
like
Wiggins.
In the first quarter.
Otto
Porter was hitting shots in the first half. You're like, all right. Come on. I mean, that's the guy who's been hurt the last 3 weeks and he walks out on the floor after not playing and starts making threes. You're like, it's going to be one of those nights.
I just think that everything Ime Udoka did after that first quarter was it was impressive. I mean, the way that they were finally able to shut after Steph Curry got everything. And that was more bungling their assignment than anything. And you saw when Marcus Smart was mic'd up, you know, he was like, we got to get in charge of this somehow. And then in like the moves, like keeping Pritchard in there at the end because he was the hot hand and he was good defensively. I didn't expect that at all against Steph Curry. So good for those guys. An all-around masterclass in that fourth quarter. You're not going to, I mean, I don't know, like, if you're going to sit here and say that this is now the Celtics are going to sweep or this is going to be a dominant thing, then just you haven't watched enough Golden State Warriors. They've got the DNA. They've got pride.
And you've watched the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics,
they have ways of brain farting.
You want to talk about not a straight line. I mean,
yeah.
Just take a look at what Celtic fans and the team has been through here over the last month and a half.
I mean, they played a fantastic fourth quarter and
very good second quarter, too. Like, that was a nice bounce
back.
That
does not mean this series is decided by any way, shape, or form.
But I'll tell you what.
Long way to go.
Give me that kind of basketball for the rest of the series.
Sure.
I mean, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
It was it's so much better than that. I mean, that Miami series was awful, and that was a fun game.
Easily the best. And I loved that Milwaukee series. I loved it. But, I mean, there was a point, even in that first quarter where the Celtics, like, you know, weren't defending anybody, where they were still answering every kind of, I mean, like, shot for shot for shot,
that's
pound for pound.
You see Curry go crazy, and they're only down 4 after one quarter. So, yeah.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.